The State of the Union gets some local flavor. Two local guys, including one of our own, will be in D.C. tonight. Crime is down in Fargo. The local flavor seems to be a little better tasting, according to the chief. And the flavor across Minnesota continues to have a hint of ice as Homeland Security continues to take criminals off the street. Good morning, my friend. Great to be with you here on this Tuesday morning, Tuesday, February 24th. 2026, the Minnesota State High School Girls Softball Tournament was still won by a guy, and we are still here each weekday morning to fill you in on what has happened in the world around us over the last 24 hours or so, or 22, since we got off the air. And a lot going on new this morning. The theme of today could very well be cold weather water formations of some kind. We've got stories about snowballs, hockey pucks, ice, both kinds, to be honest with you, and 3 feet of snow out in some parts of Rhode Island. Did you see that? Some of Rhode Island, 37 inches of snow. I remember back when Tracy and I just got married, and thank you to those of you who sent a kind word in about our anniversary yesterday. It was a wonderful evening. I made some dinner at home, strip steaks and lobster tails at the Hallstrom household. Yeah, we lived it up a little bit last night. And wine out of a box. So that'll tell you a little something, too. But I found actually a really good Cabernet out of a box, and I would have never thought. Anyway, side story there. But if you want to know, email me, and I'll fill you in on that. But you can find good wine in a box. And my wife is not a wine drinker, so I got to take care of the whole thing myself, and I don't like to drink one bottle at a sitting. Generally not good. And I've tried the cork, you know, you put, or the stopper, you suck the air out of it. I don't know. The boxing is handy for me. But anyway, had a wonderful night last night. And as we were kind of getting ready for the day today, it was kind of like, oh, I guess we're going to have anniversary things to look forward to. So it's kind of back to a regular old day today. But thank you to those that sent a nice greeting along yesterday. 35 years. How about that? By the way, speaking of ice, I just saw a couple of the U.S. hockey players doing a little thing on Fox and Friends this morning, and those guys look like they have partied hard the last day and a half or so since they won gold in Italy. Man, oh man, those guys are, it just looks like they've had a little fun. I keep thinking, you know, the Wild get back to action on Thursday night. So these guys are going to have to detox at some point to be able to play hockey again. All right, a ton to do today. We are guest-free today on the program, but there's so much going on today. I wanted to make sure that we had a chance to cover all the bases that we need to. So your calls, conversations, definitely part of the formula for today's program. 701-271-1100, whether you're listening to us in Fargo, Grand Forks, Minot, Watford City, Williston, wherever you are, listening on a mobile app or smart speaker, love to hear from you today. If you're on a beach somewhere today, shoot a little text over that, would you? 701-237-1590. I would love to see some beach pictures today. Don't know that it's going to work for the Hallstroms to get away for anything here this spring. So we may just be here until it warms up, which isn't all bad because, hey, it's almost March and things will be getting better. We are coming to you live from the Drive with Vision studio, drivewithvision.com, Vision Ford Lincoln in Wahpeton. 15 minutes or less to buy a car, truck, or SUV of your choosing. They make it easy and fun to buy vehicles down at Vision Ford Lincoln down in Wahpeton. All right, let's get to it with the Morning Wire here. Rapid fire rundown of all the things that are going on in our world today. We start with a little almanac action for today, taking a look at weather. Average high Fargo, Moorhead, West Fargo now up to 26. So we are definitely gaining that way. Speaking of gaining, we are gaining daylight. I can't say hours, but minutes for sure. We will gain 3 minutes and 16 seconds of daylight today. And we will have sunset at 6:05 in Fargo. So very much loving all of that. All right, what's going on in the markets today? Well, a better day yesterday. There was a little bit of a rout yesterday. But stocks are bouncing back today. The Dow is up 263, NASDAQ up 111, S&P 500 up 17. WTI crude oil down about 50 cents from yesterday, 66.54. Gold down $85 an ounce at 5,140. Silver up 23 cents at 86.81. And Bitcoin today down about $1,000 at $63,577. AAA says the average price of a gallon of regular unleaded gas across this great country of ours is $2.95, and that's up 1 cent from yesterday. It makes sense. We've seen those WTI crude oil prices move up fairly steadily over the last couple of weeks or so. So we're seeing gas prices move that way as well. But when you think about it, considering that everything's like 20% more expensive, our $2.95 gas here around the country is in the low twos, historically speaking. So we're not doing all that bad when you think about that. North Dakota average price $2.59, Minnesota $2.71, South Dakota $2.63. Diesel fuel today at $3.72, and that's up 1 cent from yesterday. In the news today, boys, there are a lot going on. Try to get to as many of these as I can here. Scott Hennin, founder of The Flag and longtime host, is attending the State of the Union Address tonight as the guest of U.S. Senator Kevin Cramer. The senator put a very nice press release out yesterday honoring our good friend Scotty. Cramer says the invitation is a way to celebrate talk radio and Scotty's 40-year career in North Dakota media. Thank you, Senator Cramer, for honoring a true patriot. Sean Severson will also be there. He is the guest of Amy Klobuchar. He is the owner of Moorhead's Swing Barrel Brewing, and he will be there as a guest of the senator who is running for governor in the state of Minnesota, certainly trying to earn some kudos in the outstate area. And I think none of this is a surprise or a coincidence. I think Moorhead is big for the Democrats. I think they realize that outstate Minnesota is turning more and more red, but Moorhead is still a pretty reliable bastion of liberal thought. So she is bringing a Moorhead business owner. We celebrate and support all business owners. So congrats to you, Mr. Severson. There will be a better story to tell you in crime statistics, says David Zbolsky, the Fargo police chief. And this coming to us from Valley News Live this morning. Violent crime in Fargo, according to the chief in a report presented yesterday, dropped by 10% yesterday compared to the year before. And it's a signal, he says, that local law enforcement strategies are getting some traction there. Of the serious crimes in the 2025 report, the number of rapes was down 37%, murders down 33%, burglaries and robberies down 29% and 24%, aggravated assaults down 20%. There was not all good news. Fargo PD reported 169 overdoses last year, the highest number in the last 5 years, largely driven, the chief says, by the fentanyl surge. Total calls for service up 5% last year. The Minnesota Vikings are partnering with the Fargo Park District to launch a girls' flag football program this spring. The Vikings are trying to deepen their roots across the entire upper Midwest and bringing some pro-level resources to young athletes. A North Dakota family is among those sheltering in place, reports the Star Tribune, as cartel violence in Puerto Vallarta is exploding after the death of a major cartel leader there. Some flights are resuming, but the State Department is warning of roadblocks and carjackings. And experts say, right now, Puerto Vallarta, no, only essential travel there. The Central Minnesota Human Trafficking Task Force has conducted a week-long sting targeting individuals trying to buy sex in the St. Cloud area. Five men were arrested, four face gross misdemeanor charges. Google says it's going to build a big data center in Becker, Minnesota, repurposing the site of a retiring coal plant. CNBC says the facility will be fueled by solar, wind, and battery storage, signaling a major shift in how big tech is powering its Midwest operations. A Valley City man has been arrested after allegedly pointing a gun at a pregnant woman during a domestic dispute. He faces multiple felonies, including terrorizing. The victim was fortunately able to escape and call for help. Governor Tim Walz and Democrat lawmakers in Minnesota are making a renewed pitch and push for universal background checks and red flag laws this session. It's expected to be a pretty major Second Amendment battle over there. They're also talking about potentially making illegal semi-automatic rifles. And Novo Nordisk is going to be slashing prices for Wegovy and Ozempic, the weight loss drugs, by up to 50%. follows the intense political pressure to lower prices and entry of new competitors into the weight loss medication space. So these things are normally like $1,200 a month, and now they're going to be $600. And those are some of the stories that are making headlines here on this Tuesday morning when we return on the Steve Hallstrom Show, Story of the Day. So what really happened to that District 28 meeting Sunday night? I made some calls. Had to get that part in there. Best part of that song right there, right off the top. Ba-da-da-da-da-da. Hey, North Dakota's future depends on the choices we make today, and Americans for Prosperity North Dakota is proud to unveil their 2027 policy agenda. They're calling it the North Dakota Road to Opportunity. I love that AFP is now in North Dakota. This is a big deal. The more good, solid, critical thinking we can do about the world around us, the better, says the Steve Hallstrom Show. They are pushing for the total elimination of the state income tax and expanded property tax relief. They're also calling for a North Dakota Reins Act to rein in government overreach. And they're fighting for education savings accounts for every student to empower parents. Love all that. You can get the full plan and find out how to get connected with them. Get involved at AFPND.org. AFPND.org. Paid for by Americans for Prosperity. Very cool. My friend Justin Forty is the state director of Americans for Prosperity. They do really good work all around the country. Glad to see them here as well. Before I get to Story of the Day, a couple of texts here. Someone said, Steve, you're going to have to start teasing off the top of your show what you're going to have in your Best Thing I Heard Today segment, because it's one of the things I look forward to each day. Well, thank you for that. It's called Best Thing I Heard All Day, and it's the best soundbite I heard yesterday, basically, or right away this morning. It can be just in the last 24 hours. So today it is a little quip from J.D. Vance that made me laugh and pump my fist all at the same time. So he was on the Laura Trump show over the weekend on Fox News Channel, but I didn't hear it until yesterday. I'm like, J.D. Vance, you are so good. You are so good. He and Rubio, man. How are we going to pick between those two guys to support here in the next primary? I guess hashtag good problems, right? Good problems there. And, of course, somebody said, hey, Steve, tell us about the name of that box wine. I have a relative who won't accept any of it. Well, and then I started thinking about it. I'm like, you know, I just know what it looks like. Now I'm trying to think of what it's. It's a red box. It's called like Bourbon Barrel something something, and it's a Cabernet Sauvignon, and it's really, really good. And I can't tell you anything other than that. But I'll take a picture of it tonight and bring it back and give you the full details tomorrow. But it's good. It's like if you've had Bonanza, which is the Camus people, it's kind of along those lines. So it's a really good, I mean, it's $15 or whatever for a box, and you get, I don't know, 25, 30 glasses. Unless it's been a long day and you pour a really big one, then you don't get quite as many out of the box. But it's super good, and I'm kind of a wine snob. I don't mind telling you. There's a lot of stuff I'm like, I don't know. This stuff's really good, though. It's kind of got that sort of Camus vanilla kind of honey sort of just a little sweet in there. But it's still super dry, and it's darn good. All right, so let's get to Story of the Day here. You didn't tune into Wine Talk here with Steve. But, I don't like whites at all. Just love the reds. I really do. So what really happened at that District 28 meeting Sunday night? Well, it apparently got a lot more interesting than it was supposed to be. I made a call to Robert Erbely. And he's going to come on the show tomorrow. He's the state senator out of District 28 down there. And he's busy today, wasn't able to come on, but I had a chance to talk with him a little bit yesterday. And I see the forum has written up a story on it, too. So here's what I've been able to pull together on this one. So the district meeting, they're trying to get their delegates together to go to the state convention, right, which is coming up soon because it's an election year, blah, blah, blah. So the meeting started. There was a couple dozen people there. Robert said, but then all of a sudden a whole bunch of people showed up kind of out of nowhere, and it looked like it was sort of an organized group because everybody came at once. It wasn't a bunch of people filing in there. So the meeting gets called to order, and it wasn't too long after that that the some of the people who came in late made a motion to remove Brandenburg, state representative down there, remove him as the chair. So if I understand it right, the motion was ruled out of order, and they said, hey, here's why. The Roberts Rules of Order are in play here. And then some of the people who wanted to, I guess, shake things up there sort of did a takeover of the stage, and there was sort of an arguing match for like 45 minutes or so, and you know, kind of something happened and something said something and somebody got in the way and you can't do that, and shouting and pushing, and yeah, it got kind of crazy. And then after half hour maybe so of kind of the things getting goofy, Brandenburg, the chair, declared the meeting out of hand, basically, and adjourned it, which you can do, and said, we're going to have to do this by email there. I don't know exactly what the big problem is, if this is just one issue or if this is just people saying the whole thing's dysfunctional, we need leadership that better serves us. That I can't tell you from kind of what I heard and what I've been able to read about this one. But it does look like there has been some pushback in the district about some of the activities that have happened in the state legislature over the last couple of years or so with some pipeline and power projects. And the people who tried to, I don't say derail, but take the meeting a different direction maybe is a better way to say it, feel like they've got legal precedent to do an overtake of the meeting. And the people, kind of the establishment, I guess you might say, says, no, you don't. And so they're going to have to figure out how to get their delegates picked for the upcoming convention in Minot. So that's sort of the Cliff Notes version of what is happening there. We are seeing more and more things like this. And the state, I've said this for a long time, the state of North Dakota's Republican Party is kind of, I would say, sort of sectioning off into two groups. One is regular old people just working, farming, going to the factory, going to the rig, who are just, they see the country as falling apart, and we've got to be really strong. And we've, even in North Dakota, we've got to stand up stronger at the state level and with our congressional representation and all that. And it's time to break some China. And if you want to get involved, you got to be loud, you got to make it happen, and you have to be strong-minded. And then I think you have what I would call the chamber Republicans, who are not as aggressive in tactics, probably believe a lot of the same things, but feel like the order, the decorum, let's work within the system we have to change things with the people that are there, and let's exert the influence there. Let's stand up for issues that make common sense on commerce and trade and all of those things. But I really believe it's kind of separating out into groups of, on one side, you've got the people that are just mad as heck and not going to take it anymore, which I get. I'm one of the people that thinks we got to change some things. I also do understand that there's a way to do things, and there's a way to bring everybody together instead of separating the whole thing out. So I'm hoping the cooler has prevailed, but I think this upcoming convention will be very, very interesting. So that's my take on it. We'll have Senator Herbley on tomorrow to talk more about that. All right, when we come back, State of the Union tonight, two local guys will be there, one from each side. And the guy who will be there from our side is a guy you know well. Oh, Mike, you had to do it, didn't you? Well, I asked for it, though, didn't I? I said, if you are somewhere on a beach today, send me a pic, warm up my soul. And here's Mike, says, hey, Steve, listening in from Clearwater Beach today. Oh, my, Clearwater Beach is one of my favorite places in the entire world. Oh, love that beach. It's a good one. Yeah. Just love the vibe down there, too. It's such a great spot. And the food, the culture, Florida, man. The sand and the beach. Good for you, Mike. Thanks for sending that picture in. Hey, if you're feeling overwhelmed trying to raise your kids in today's woke, ever-changing world, not sure about how to answer those tough questions about culture, identity, and values, yeah, it's hard for all of us, right? I mean, how do you put this stuff into words for your kids? Especially when they're a little younger. You know, you don't want to overwhelm them with all this stuff when they're young, but there's an age when they're going to start figuring it out anyway. Well, we want to invite you to an evening with author and speaker Stacey Manning. She's coming to Fargo Saturday, March 28th, and it's going to be held over at Capstone Classical Academy. She has written a book called Raising a Conservative Kid in a Woke City, and she's going to give you some practical tools and the confidence. That's half the problem, right? To have thoughtful, age-appropriate conversations with kids. There's a VIP meet and greet at 6, program at 7. Tickets start at just $25. Go to am1100theflag.com and click on the Stacey Manning banner there. You can buy tickets that way. All right. Well, State of the Union tonight, I mentioned off the top of the show that Sean Severson, who is the owner of Swing Barrel Brewing in Moorhead, is going to be a guest of Senator Amy Klobuchar. And it was her his business that she went to, was it last week, a couple weeks ago, when she came through Moorhead and wanted to do listening sessions. And so he's going to be there as a guest of Senator. And I'm glad that the Senator is going to go to the State of the Union address, because it sounds like there's about 25 to 30 U.S. senators and representatives who are Democrats who will not go, who have just said, Tina Smith is one of them. She says, I'm not going to go listen to that garbage for 2 hours or whatever. I'm glad the senator is going. I have to believe it might have something to do with the fact she's running for governor. But I think, if I'm honest about this, I think she has pretty much gone to all of these things and just sat through it, which is painful. I get it. If you are on one side and the other side is there talking about how great their stuff is, how terrible your stuff is, it's painful. It is. And so I'm glad that she's doing it. I will let others decide if it's authentic or whatever. I'm just glad that she's going. And a guy named Scott Hennin will be there as well. Super fun to see a official press release come out from Senator Kramer yesterday saying, quote, I chose Scott Hennin as my invited guest for State of the Union because I want to celebrate talk radio. Scott and I worked together, him as a radio host and me as a fill-in, going all the way back to my days as tourism director and economic development director in Ed Schaefer's administration. Scott and I have been doing talk radio town hall since my very first day in Congress, and for more than 13 years, I joined Scott almost every week for an hour and take calls unfiltered. And he said, beyond that, I just want to give a shout out to everybody who does talk radio and how important that is. Scott's quoted in there as well. Pretty nice deal there. If you want to see it, you can read the whole thing on Senator Kramer's website. Not too hard to find it there right now. So pretty fun to see an official press release coming out honoring our buddy. And I call him the Godfather because he was in this before I was, and kind of dug in and said, you know, let's make this happen, talk radio. And I say that Scott is the most influential media personality in the entire state of North Dakota. I really believe that. And he, you know, people listen to him all over, and all over the country, all over the world when people are traveling. And there's just nobody like our Scotty. And so I'm really excited for him to be there. He was going to be there. I think he was heading that way anyway, and was going to try to see, like, okay, is there a way that I could, you know, find a way to sneak in the back room, which you can't out there. And then he heard this good news. So really fun. And Scotty will have a lot to talk about with that today on the show from 11 to 2, and then obviously tomorrow as well. So really fun. If you're wondering who other people are bringing, well, I saw that Pete Stauber is going to bring Nick Shirley, the YouTuber, and David Hoke, who's kind of the guy who's been around trying to get all this going, but Shirley came along and just somehow lit the thing on fire. But David Hoke has been an absolute warrior on all this fraud stuff as well. Now, there is another conversation to be had about who is not going to be there. The U.S. men's hockey team, as you probably heard, has gotten the opportunity to go. They were invited, and the president said he would invite the women's team as well. So the men's team is going to be there, and those guys have been all over media. They were on Today, a Good Morning America. They were on Fox News Channel, all those things. So they've been all over the place talking about how great it is that they're going to be able to be there and do that. And I don't know if all the players are going to be there, if it's just some of them. Now, they've got to get back to their teams because you know, a lot of those guys, you know, are, you know, in really big situations with their current NHL teams. But the statement that came out from U.S. Women's Hockey said this, the players will not be able to attend the State of the Union or visit the White House because of previously scheduled commitments. We are sincerely grateful for the invitation extended to our gold medal winning U.S. Women's Hockey team and deeply appreciate the recognition of their extraordinary achievement. Due to the timing and previously scheduled academic and professional commitments following the games, the athletes are unable to participate. They were honored to be included and are grateful for the acknowledgement. So, I don't know what the conversation was like with the U.S. women's hockey team. And I'm not going to lump women's hockey players in with what sometimes happens. Well, you know, there's women athletes and there's a lot of, you know, women who LGBTQ and they hate Trump and all. Look, I don't know any of that. Britta Curl is a North Dakota girl, a rock star stud from Bismarck, who is part of that team. And if you followed Britta's stuff, I don't know where she stands politically, but she has definitely been willing to say things that the liberals get triggered about. So I guess I don't want to speak for her, but it sounds like she's a common censor, at least. So the women's response got me thinking when I saw it. Very classy response. But I did wonder when I saw the audio of the call with the president to the guys in the locker room in Milan after the U.S. men's team won. And the president said, now, you know, and again, don't I'm not quoting, but basically was, we're going to have to invite the women's team too, or we're going to invite the women's team too. And when I heard it the first time, I thought, I don't love the way that sounded, but whatever. I mean, the president's kind of bonded with the guys on the call. No major fouls here in my world. But I did think to myself, that might have been a different way to say that one. And I knew the liberals were going to get triggered, and they have. And if you go, like, I try to flip around and watch different channels. So I was on CNN last night a little bit on some of the social media, and this is all they're talking about, is how Trump hates the women, and he is just one of those toxic masculine guys trying to be a wannabe hockey player and bond with the boys and all of this and that, which is Trump saying he loves masculine sports. He loves football. He loves MMA, loves the hockey stuff. These are Trump's kind of guys. Now, in a perfect world, you don't give the liberals anything. In a perfect world, you say, hey, we're going to bring the women in too. You know, great accomplishment they had. It'll be a great time. And the players, to their credit, were like, absolutely. And one of the guys is like, two for two, you know, that both U.S. teams beat Canada teams in the championship there. Some people in media, the Bill Maher's, the Joe Rogan, people have come to the defense of the players and said, you know, don't dog them about any of this, even though they kind of were laughing as the president was doing his thing. The guys were two-fisting Coronas in that locker room. They were on cloud nine, top of the world. The president calls them, invites you to stay. They were just laughing along to be nice. And some have lit up Cash Patel, saying he looked like a fool being there in the locker room, you know, pounding, shotgunning beers with the boys and swearing and whatever else. And look, it's just kind of where you're at the time. And now we've heard all this. Well, Cash Patel shouldn't have even been there. There's no reason he should have been paying, taking U.S. taxpayer money. The reports that I have read are that he was over in Europe for some things FBI was doing. And Trump administration said, well, go represent the White House there after the game and extend the invitation to them to come to the White House. So, look, he's apparently over there anyway. Now, if the facts are different, then we can have comments or questions and conversations about all of that. The men are still, I mean, they just won Sunday. The women's game, the championship game, was several days earlier. And I think that's important to remember as well. The women had kind of gone back to their life and their world and whatever they were doing. The guys are still kind of all together. And for a couple of days, maybe they can delay going back to their NHL teams. So the schedules are a little different, too. So I think we have to remember that. If you're mad at the U.S. women's team, which I know a number of people are on our side, they're like, how dare you turn down the president's invitation to do that? Look, you just don't know. If they're all scattered different places, they can invite them, but then how are they going to get back there? It's not like the team is still all together here. I don't have any big takeaways on this. I'm just kind of articulating what's being talked about here. I do empathize with anybody who honestly says, without trying to be a Trump derangement syndrome, that says, gosh, it just kind of felt like the women were an afterthought. Like, yeah, you're going to have to bring your little sisters with. I get that. And if that's you, if you're a mom of a girls player and they were kind of disappointed how that felt, I get that. I think that's fair to say. I would just say this to you. If you're wondering if Donald Trump just doesn't respect girls and women's athletes, I would say you just haven't met him. Nothing about Trump to me. Yes, he likes bonding with the guys, but his daughter Kai is a world-class golfer for her age. He doesn't hate her and hate those opportunities. If he ever met Britta Curl, I think he'd like to hang out with her. I think they would have a great conversation. In a perfect world, I would have liked to seen a Truth Social a little bit later that day saying, hey, just to make sure, you know this, respect the women's team, they're awesome, and whatever it sounded like, I want them there too. I would have loved that. But remember, you're never going to appease the wackos. Nothing that you say can ever appease them. They're going to find a way to hate Donald Trump anyway. So, but hey, a little, you know what? I could have said that better. Can go a long way with some people, right? Trump says 10,000 things a week. There's going to be a few that don't come out right. We all know that. I could say the same about this show here too. Not much of a harm, not much of a foul here, but maybe just could have nudged it a little better afterwards there. But sounds like the U.S. guys are going to be there tonight, and it's going to be a ton of fun. Steve Alsham show back after this. Text line open for business, 701-237-1590. Steve, what a pathetic example the Democrats are showing our children and the world by boycotting the State of the Union. Absolute disgrace. Yeah, I'm trying to remember back when Biden was in office. I think the Republicans all went. I mean, there was some... Remember MTG, she was kind of barking at Biden during the speech one time, but I think they all went. Yeah, I agree. That's why I say I give credit to Amy Klobuchar. I don't know what her motivations are. She might have ulterior motives, but probably does. I mean, everybody in politics seems to. But at least she's going. Tina Smith isn't, but that's not a surprise, Tina Smith there. Steve, after the U.S. Olympic hockey team defeated Russia in the 1980 Olympics, VP Walter Mondale was in the locker room with the U.S. team after the victory and got President Carter on the phone to congratulate the team. Patel was in the locker room with the champions and got President Trump on the phone to congratulate the team. Why was it a good thing in 1980 and not good in 2026? Well, absolutely. The obvious answer is, right? It's Donald Trump. It's all Trump derangement. It really is. They just cannot see straight when it comes to Trump. Now, I don't know that Walter Mondale was two-fisting beers and dropping F-bombs. I suppose some people don't like that. But to me, that's just hanging out with the guys and, you know, they're shoving beers in your face and saying, you know, have a good time with us here. Again, if this was Barack Obama's White House or Joe Biden's White House and you had Buttigieg, you know, pounding beers and, you know, slamming cans off his forehead, I'd probably make fun of him, but I wouldn't think it was wrong for him to be there and to be doing what he's doing. I would have probably just made some snide comment about Buttigieg and, you know, what got into him. But, I'm with you. You got to have people that are part of the scene, that are part of the administration, and I think it'd be worse if nobody was there. Steve, break some China? You agree, so what's the problem? I'm a Chamber of Commerce Republican and a delegate. I don't want to spend much time on this. I think I explained myself pretty well there. I'm just saying that the party in North Dakota is kind of moving into two directions. More establishment sort of chamber, and then people who are not part of the or haven't, you know, been part of like state systems or things like that, where it's just more grassroots is what I'm trying to say there. And I think on the grassroots side, people are saying, you know, looking at taxes, they're looking at the climate jihad, they're looking at all this stuff and saying, we can't just keep doing the things that we're doing all along. So that I just saying it's kind of a fork in the road, it seems like we're getting on the Republican side there. All right, 701-271-1100 if you want to weigh in on the conversation today. That's the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line, Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness. They have recently expanded, can get you in quick. They offer counseling, occupational therapy, physical therapy, and a nurse practitioner. Make an appointment. Get in this week at valleychristian.co. Let's go to the phone lines right now. Crystal wants to talk about Amy Klobuchar. Good morning, Crystal.
Yeah, hey there. I'm glad that Amy's probably going to behave herself because she did well in Melania's movie. I saw Amy Klobuchar lead the delegation into the rotunda, and she acted
on Inauguration Day.
With dignity. Yeah, on Inauguration Day. And I think that is maybe one of the key points that you're talking about today, that the Democrats have to get back to having decorum. You can disagree, and let's discuss the problem and things like that. But some guests that I would encourage President Trump to look at is some of the members from the Angel family that were honored yesterday. It was very heartwarming, as well as maybe that Felicia Cook, the grandma from Grandma said so. What a passionate woman. And she lives right there in D.C. It doesn't cost anything. And so when people are invited, and I don't know this answer, are their costs covered? Do they get to fly in at no cost? The government covers that? Or they, travel at their own expense?
Don't know that. My assumption is that if you're someone who comes from modest means, I think you're going to say, hey, we'll help you out on this thing. I imagine they have a travel budget for that. But not 100% sure. Yeah, good ideas, Crystal. Thanks for calling this morning. Some good suggestions. Yeah, that Graham, have you seen that clip? That's so good. I think it happened over the weekend, so it didn't turn into a best thing I heard all day. But we might have to bring that back anyway. Pretty fun stuff there. 54 past the hour here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. And I'm just making sure that I had there was one other note that I wanted to sneak in here in the top of this hour. Okay. Nope. We're good. So, I have about a minute left. I want to get into this here just really quickly. The downtown Fargo library apparently turning into a difficult place to go check out a book here. The police responded to 311 significant incidents at the downtown Fargo library last year. The responses were a big jump from the year before. And it was 263 the year before. So it's not like this has been a pocket of calm in the community. So that's almost a call a day to the library there. Most were people under the influence of alcohol or drugs. I can only hope that moving some of the shelters, the downtown engagement center out of downtown might help that a little bit. But yeah, it's not always a pleasant scene. I've heard stories, too, and I don't want to say them on the air because I don't know that any of them are true. But you just hear some things that it's not always the most pleasant place. So 311 calls to the cops from the downtown Fargo library last year. The Key 3 coming up next on the Steve Hallstrom Show. Being reminded today that if I come to you and I say, hey, there's something really good that I like to enjoy once in a while, I'll tell you about it if you care. I better have my stuff ready to go. I just got another text. Steve, what was the box wine you were talking about at the top of the hour? Can you give that out again? I had mentioned this. It's in a dark red box. It's something like bourbon barrel something or another, and it's a Cabernet. I don't know the brand offhand. So I will go home and find out. I'll tell you all about that tomorrow. So thank you. I appreciate that that people want to know. Kind of what things work for me. And it's just an option. You can try it and see what you like. It's one of those wines I said that was, some reds, cabs in particular, you'll hear people say hints of tobacco or spice or whatever. That's not what this is. This is more kind of little hints of vanilla, honey, little sweeter, kind of along the line of the Camus wines there. To me, it tastes a lot like Bonanza if you've had that one. That's, by the way, another really good for the money price if you like cab but you don't want to spend a zillion dollars. I think if you did a taste test with that, Pine Ridge, Camus, what else tastes a little like that? Anyway, I don't know that you would be able to really tell. I think for the money it's really good. And at $15 for a box. For 30 glasses, not bad. I'll get the details on that, bring it back tomorrow. From the email box, you can send me an email as well, studio@flagfamily.com. Emailer Lydia says, Steve, I'm not surprised to hear the amount of police calls to the library. I've never called the police, but my kids and I have encountered uncomfortable or unsafe feeling situations over and over again. It's frustrating to not feel like my kids can roam the library without being out of my sight. There seems to be generally less unsafe people since they moved the tables and cell phone chargers out of the library hall. But more changes should be made. The library should be a safe and inviting space. Outside is important, too. Too many homeless people hanging around yelling at you or asking for money. Personally, I'm confused why able-bodied young men think it's okay to approach a mom with young kids for cash. Well, that's its own show, Lydia. Its own show. But thanks for sending that in here today. Okay, I've got to get this in before I go any further here in the program today. I'd hope to play this in the 9 o'clock hour when we were talking about USA and Canada. But I didn't get a chance to sneak it in there. I've got to do this, though. Mike Stone is a longtime Detroit sports radio personality, and he works for a station called The Ticket, 97.1 The Ticket in Detroit. Stoney, as he is called, had no problem celebrating Canada's expense, at Canada's expense, yesterday on his show.
Whoa, Canada, wine's about 3-on-3. True North in tears, couldn't score 5-on-3. McKinnon had the puck, couldn't beat Hallebuck, who gave your fans the blues. USA is king, winning everything. Thank you, Megyn Kelly and Jack Hughes. God keep your land. Gold medal and tariff free. Whoa, Canada, silver for he and she. Whoa, Canada, silver for she and he. USA! USA! USA!
Oh, I hope our Canadian friends can live with us after that. Just had to chuckle a little bit. Sorry, Coach Wilson. Oh, I was hanging out with the hockey guys on Saturday. And Dean Wilson, a longtime coach at South, one of the hockey guys. I love that man to death. But he said, I don't know that he'll get I'll get in trouble for telling me what he said off microphone. And he's kidding, of course. He goes, if Canada wins, I'll be drunk for 2 weeks. If Canada loses, I'll be drunk for 3. I think is what he said. So yeah, they're taking it hard up there, no doubt. But thought that was good enough to play here for us on the show today. All right, 11 past the hour, let's get to the key three here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. These are what I believe to be the three most consequential stories in the news cycle today. First one comes from the great state of Florida, the freest state in the country, where Florida lawmakers, according to Fox Business, are fast-tracking a plan for property tax elimination for primary homeowners across the state. Okay, there's a lot to this, so let's break it down quick. Last week, the state's House advanced a bill that would effectively turn off the tax switch for homesteaded properties starting January 1st. This is a bill that was put together by DeSantis's team, and it works toward their long-discussed zero-tax goal. They want to get to zero property taxes down there. And what they're going to do is homesteaded properties would stop paying city and county property taxes entirely, but they would still pay school taxes. And that could be, you know, if you got a, whatever, if your tax bill is $10,000, that might be $3,500, $4,000 or so. So the property tax bill isn't going to go necessarily to zero, but could be cut in half or more. The newly passed amendment offers a fast track for homeowners to see savings in their first tax bill as soon as 2027, but 60% of voters would have to approve it on the 2026 midterm ballot. State economists say what everybody said up here when we were trying to get Measure 4 through, or at least when I was trying to get Measure 4 through. They say, well, this could give us a $15 billion hole every year for local governments. And if we lose that much tax revenue, we're going to have to fire police officers, firefighters could lose staff, and all of that. But the bill offers a public safety guarantee that cities would legally be required to fund police departments at current funding levels, even if they have no money coming in from homeowners. Not sure how that would work, but that's what they're trying to do there as well. And they think this is going to be a very bullish thing for high net worth individuals, which is what Florida wants to do. They want to bring in more people of means to their state. Boy, well, merit-based immigration, what a novel idea that is right there. So that's what they're trying to get done there. People are wondering, will this cause home prices to spike and make it harder for the next generation of Florida residents to buy a home? But some people are arguing that property values are driven more by migration trends than by single tax adjustments. Buyers are not moving here just because of property taxes. They're coming for lifestyle and other things as well. Okay, Carol Levitt, a reporter Lou Reguse says reports that new details are out about fraud at Minnesota's autism centers. Three bullet points here for you, and you're going to say, you've got to be kidding me. Not that we didn't know it was bad already, but here we go. State workers were not legally allowed to make unannounced site visits because the autism centers were not required to be licensed. Now that licensing is required, point two, only six of the 500 autism centers have applied. I'll say that again. Only six of the 500 autism centers have applied because now licensing is required. And finally, anyone over 18 with some online training can be a level 3 autism provider offering, quote, medical services. That's what they've uncovered at Care 11. The corruption and intentional look the other way in Minnesota. You've got to be kidding me. And finally, I want to give a rundown of something we touched on briefly in our number one. Serious crime was down in Fargo last year by 10%, a decline that Police Chief Dave Zabolski says is very positive news for the city. This coming from the Forum report has been written on this. There was a press conference yesterday. They said total service calls were up 5% last year, which the chief says is because of the city's population growth and the revival of the Fargo PD's traffic safety team. That's the six officer division that's cracking down on reckless driving and fleeing and all of that. Of the serious crimes in the report, rapes were down 37%, murders down 33%, burglaries down 29%, robberies down 24%, aggravated assaults down 20%. Motor vehicle thefts were down by 5%. We did hear as well that overdoses at a 5-year high, though, in Fargo. That was one of the things that came out there. They had 169 overdoses in 2025. 169. That's like, man. Now, they are not fatal, but 169 overdoses, one every 2 days, basically. So, good news, right? I always ask questions about, okay, the data, you know, are we changing the way we're reporting anything? But I have no reason to doubt what the chief is saying. I don't know the chief to be, I know the chief to be a guy who is a straightforward dude. When I've had him on, he's given his information out there, and nobody's proven anything of this wrong. So I'm going with it. When we come back, best thing I heard all day. Every Tuesday, we get a little smarter thanks to our friend Chris Buckingham. He's the founder at Solve CXO, and he's got an upcoming workshop that is being planned, and this looks really good. He's here to tell us a little bit about it. Hey, Chris, how are you today?
Good morning, Steve. Doing well, yourself?
Yeah, wonderful. Thank you. Appreciate you making time for us today. So you got this workshop coming up called Scaling a Startup Without Breaking the Founder, and a lot of people who are business owners will be nodding their heads when they hear that. Why is that message the one you chose, and why is it needed right now?
Yeah, I live this, Steve, and you know, a lot of founders or even people that are, you know, owner operators, you're just quietly overwhelmed. Your business is growing, which is great, but the complexity grows faster than the revenue, and suddenly you're the decision maker, the problem solver, the safety net for everything, and that's just not sustainable. It's not even really healthy. So with this workshop, we really want to help founders build structure, leadership habits, and allow the company to grow without crushing them.
So who are the people that you're really targeting that you want to talk to with this?
Yeah, startup founders, owner operators, if they feel stuck in the middle, they've got traction, maybe it's a small team, their revenue's moving, but they just can't step away because the business depends on them too much to function. And that's really a warning sign. So this workshop is really built for that stage.
So if you attend, what are you going to walk away with?
Clarity, hopefully, you know, a direction on where to go. The next thing that they can do, identify where they are truly the bottleneck, where their systems are missing, what needs to change over the next 90 days so they can scale responsibly. This is interactive. It's not, you know, a lecture. So they should leave with an actual plan, not just a bunch of notes.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's easy to go and just take a bunch of notes. But when you've got to actually start putting a strategy together before you leave, and it helps kind of just jive with everything that you're talking about, the presentation, you're going to come out way ahead of just going and taking in what you take in. You're actually starting to build some solutions. I love that. Scaling a startup without breaking the founder. Good stuff. Coming up March 10th, so you got a little bit of time to sign up, but get your name in. You don't want to fill up and then you miss out. 10 a.m. in Fargo. If you go to solvecxo.com, just like it sounds, solvecxo.com, you can sign up there. Chris, thanks for sharing the story, and looks like a great time. Hope it goes great for you guys.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Steve. And if you can attend, register, and we can provide you a copy of the recording as well.
Okay. Yeah, good stuff there. Solve CXO, helping business owners turn their vision into action. SolveCXO.com. Thanks, Chris. Have a great day.
You too, Steve.
All right, take care. Thanks so much. 1022 is Steve Hallstrom Show. If you need a new garage door or fast, reliable repairs, OnTrack Garage Doors got you covered. They specialize in commercial, residential, and farm shop doors, plus expert spring replacements and door repairs. OnTrack Garage Door is proud to be veteran-friendly and grounded in strong Christian values. Quality work, honest service, and a team you can trust. Let them get you on the right track with OnTrack. 701-793-4246 today. Garage Door guys, man, I tell you, when you need one, right? You're having a garage door that won't open or won't close, that's no bueno. A couple of texts I want to hit here before we get to best thing I heard all day. Steve, if North Dakota would legalize weed and put the taxes to schools and roads, North Dakota wouldn't need property taxes either. Well, that's a two-hour show right there. Did you? You probably didn't hear me last week. There was some new, I don't want to say research done, but people have been documenting what's been going on in Colorado a little bit more, and it's not what you think it is and not what people were told out there. They thought all those things were going to happen out there, and now they've got more kids, ER visits. They've got more problems with the addiction there than what they thought. It hasn't yielded as much revenue, and the revenue that they have had, the legislature just felt like, hey, we just got more money. Let's spend it. So Colorado is not the utopia everybody said it was going to. I refuse to believe that making it easier to access. It's like we talked about downtown Fargo with, you know, crack pipes and needles or whatever. You cannot convince me that if we give people drugs that we know have hallucinogenic properties and we've seen what it does to people, there's no way to spin that into this is a good thing. And if you say, well, you know, we got some things to not make, but we're going to make money off of it, then that's not the best decision-making process either. So I don't subscribe to that theory. I know that at face value, it sounds like it makes sense, right? Hey, people will do it. Well, let's do that. But is the bang worth the buck, I would say, on that one? Also from the text line today, Steve, the Democrats boycotting the State of the Union address just confirms what I thought of so many people in Congress. They're a bunch of spoiled high school kids throwing a temper tantrum, and when they can't have their way, they just, quote, live their own truth. They just want to make enough noise until they get enough attention to feel accomplished. Yeah, you know, I've not really spent a lot of time figuring out how Democrats get elected to those levels. Like, so AOC was a bartender, right? Obama was a social activist, kind of a community builder sort of a guy. Like, how do they get in the process? You know, if you're going to win Congress or Senate, where you got to have a lot of money behind you, and they came from not much of anything. So I don't know what the gist is, and I imagine it happens on the Republican side too. I tend to look at the people that have gotten into politics have generally earned their stripes in business and then made that transition. Maybe that's just my impression and that's not accurate statistically, but it feels to me like when I'm seeing people that are going in, like Scott Jensen, you know, he was a doctor and there's a lot of business people that have got in after doing business for a while and saying, hey, this is just my time to do it. Right? I mean, you just get those kind of guys. Former Gate City Bank, Steve, name escapes me right now. Come on, Hallstrom. There's a lot of people like that who have gotten in after doing other things, owning businesses. A lot of ranchers in North Dakota, farmers have gotten into it as well. So, yeah, I don't know. It's interesting to kind of walk through all of that. With another text just came in, with 36 Democrats nod the State of the Union, I think it frees the seats for people who are excited to be there. Yeah, I like that, although you can't go take those seats. So Scotty tonight's not going to be able to go down there into the seat where, Tina Smith would be. They'll have to be up in the rafters. But I like the way you think. Okay. Best thing I heard all day comes to us courtesy of Laura Trump's show on Fox News Channel. What's My Way, My Story, My Show. She does a show on the weekends on Fox News Channel, and J.D. Vance was on the show. So last week, we heard Marco Rubio in Germany just kind of light everybody up with, you know, we are not here to just sit quietly while the West falls apart, manage the demise. And I'm like, wow, Marco Rubio. And I've been a fan of Rubio for a long time, and I think he's a guy that has definitely some possibilities to be a president someday. So every time I think that, you know, Marco Rubio is the guy, I think that should be the guy. And then J.D. Vance will grab a mic. And I've taken too long to get to this, so we're going to have to do this on the other side of this break. But you're going to love what J.D. Vance had to say, because if you saw the Somali community rallying for reparations because of ISIS activity in Minneapolis there a few weeks back, and there's still stuff going on, they are asking for hundreds of million dollars in reparations. J.D. Vance had a drop the mic moment when he was asked about it. We'll play that for you coming up next. Have you noticed how many Vision Fords and Vision Lincolns you're seeing here in the metro? One of them is in my garage, and I'm so happy about that. They make buying a car easy. 15 minutes through the paperwork, and they'll come to you for the sale and the service. Or for an oil change, they might just do it right out in the parking lot. That's what they did for me a couple weeks ago. Amazing stuff there. Buy your Ford from Vision Ford Lincoln in Wahpeton, or a Lincoln as well. Drivewithvision.com. Great job opportunities, too. If you're in the service world, you're going to make more money than anywhere in the five-state area. No weekends and full benefits. That sounds like some good stuff right there. Coming to you live from the Drive with Vision studio today. Drivewithvision.com. All right. A couple of texts here. And I don't typically screen the text ahead of time. I like to be surprised, like opening up a present. Text message. Just remember, Steve, you were talking about drinking wine earlier in the show, and we all know alcohol is a very dangerous drug, Steve. It's just socially acceptable. Before fentanyl and oxy, alcohol killed more people every year than all other drugs combined. I will say to you, my friend, what I have said to many people many times, and that is this. Show me a group of 100 recreational alcohol drinkers, and show me a group of 100 recreational marijuana users, and I will show you two very different groups of people. Now, I'm stereotyping a little bit, but you cannot. What's the old line they used to use in 1984? They were told the first thing you have to do is ignore what you're seeing and just listen to what the establishment was telling you. They tell me that marijuana is not harmful. That's what they tell me over and over. That's just like having a beer. I can have a beer on an empty stomach, and 10 minutes later, if I'm eating food or whatever, I'm fine. I move forward. My blood's a little thinner, I suppose. If I'm drinking 100 beers, it's a different deal. But I'm convinced that something happens to you when you smoke weed. I just am. And I don't know how you know what you're getting and where it came from. Is it the same stuff that it used to be? They all say it's not like your granddad's weed back in the 60s. This is different stuff. And I just believe that. And you can believe differently. I get it. But you cannot tell me that your society gets healthier right? We want prosperity, health, and safety in our community, right? You cannot tell me that your community gets safer, more prosperous, or more healthy by consuming drugs that are illegal right now. And I know some places have legalized them, whatever, but I'm going to throw marijuana in this whole thing. Like, the world around me is not better when other people are stoned. It just isn't. So I'm not going to go there. You guys can argue this all you want, but I think we are going to find out in time that there was a lot more that happened to people who thought this was really safe. And even on the medical marijuana stuff, I'm not so sure that we know that we've got all the answers there either. So you can say whatever you want to me. I'm just telling you, I don't believe it. I really don't. Okay. Let's see. Steve, you sound like an idiot every time you talk about Mary Jane. Okay, fine. I don't really care what you think. I'm going to tell you what I think, and then if you don't want to listen to the show, then you don't have to listen to the show. But that's where I'm at on this one. I just there's more in that stuff than you think there is. I'm just convinced of it. All right, 35 past the hour. Time to finish up our last segment, Best Thing I Heard All Day. All right, so I don't need much setup because I gave it to you before, but every time I hear Marco Rubio talk, I think that's our next president right there. And then J.D. Vance grabs a mic. He was on with Lara Trump over the weekend, and it was absolutely fantastic, and this is what it sounded like when Lara Trump asked him about the Somali community in Minneapolis is now asking for reparations, and I think the number is like $200 million. On what they want because they've been so damaged by ICE. So here's how that conversation went.
They should be paid money. They say that the federal government must pay for what they broke. Now all of a sudden they care about money. Apparently they didn't care about it with the fraud.
Yep.
What is your response to that?
Well, my response is on behalf of the American people, would like reparations from them for allowing Somali fraudsters to steal billions of dollars from the American taxpayer that live in Minnesota.
Boom.
They've done nothing to cut down on that fraud. I think it's absurd for people to say we want reparations. Reparations for what? Because we enforced the law that the American people elected us to do? Because we took people who were setting up fraudulent daycare centers and tried to get them out of this country? Because we took sex criminals out of neighborhoods and either put them in prison or sent them far away from the United States of America? We're doing the job the American people elected us to do. No one is talking about anything other than enforce the law against criminal illegal aliens in the United States of America. It's really not that hard. And it's a huge indictment of Jacob Fry and frankly, the entire far left that they made that their cause of the day, letting violent sex offenders stay on the streets of America. The president's just not going to go for that.
Well, my response is on behalf of the American people, I would like reparations from them for allowing Somali fraudsters to steal billions of dollars from the American taxpayers that live in Minnesota. Well, they didn't just steal it from Minnesota taxpayers either. A lot of that was federal money that came into the state. And yeah, should have served the people of Minnesota, but obviously it didn't. This is a fantastic response to this issue here. When I was in the Twin Cities last week, I heard from a gentleman who I would say is center right. And there's a lot of Minnesota Republicans that are center right. And I think he is one of them. And he said, I do happen to know that there are people who were polled that were American citizens, had driver's licenses and everything else, whatever documentation you want, that were taken from the job site and brought to Texas and then had to find a way to get back home. That might have happened. It might have. Cleaning up a mess is messy, and I get that. And you're going to have whatever, things that aren't fair, things that are tough, things that don't make sense, things that maybe even are mistakes. But it is priceless for me to listen to anybody in that community who says we need reparations because of how difficult you made it for us. Well, the reason it's been made difficult is a lot because of the things that people within your community did. And to this point, I don't know that I've heard anybody in the Somali community in Minnesota kind of denounce this and say, hey, look, this was on behalf of those of us who are Somali, who are not part of all this, who didn't get a Lamborghini. We're ticked about this, too. I don't hear any of that. And maybe if we heard more of that, a lot of us would be maybe more willing to have a more tempered reaction when we hear things like what we just heard. So thought that was the best thing that I heard all day. Okay, State of the Union is coming up. What to expect from this? I'm going to play for you a clip. This was from Mornings with Maria. It's about 5 minutes long, and I think we'll be able to play all of this here. And she had Jason Miller, White House spokesman, on asking what to expect tonight from the State of the Union address. And Maria started by asking Jason Miller, what do you think the vibe is going to be in the room tonight?
12 months, total transformation. That's the message you're going to hear from the president tonight in his State of the Union address. And I think it's important to remind people that State of the Union speeches aren't about fixing individual potholes. They're about demonstrating vision and laying out the pathway to success. And in the case of President Trump, he's going to talk about how he turned around the country, which was failing under Joe Biden, to now being on a pathway to success. And the key here is what President Trump has really elevated to an art form, and that's using the guests in the gallery to use human stories to talk about how these policies matter for real people, how the working parents have been able to turn things around because of these tax cuts, how people who've been impacted by the horrific crimes of illegal aliens now know that those same horrors won't happen to other people. So President Trump really knows how to connect this back to regular people and what matters in their lives, primarily, as you identified, the economy.
Yeah, great point in terms of guests in the audience. I'm wondering who will be the guest of the First Lady.
Well, there are a number, and I'm not sure which ones have been teased out yet, so I don't want to give away too much. But I will tell you that the First Lady plays a very important role. And as we've seen teased out, we will have some members of the men's hockey team who will be in attendance. I imagine that will largely steal the show, at least in the first few minutes of the overall State of the Union. There's another important point, Maria, that I want to make, and that's also keep in mind that Democrats have a real tough choice to make tonight, or choices, I should say. And that is, where do they choose to sit? So when the president is talking about things that bring people together, such as voter ID or securing the border or bringing about peace, are Democrats really going to sit on their hands and do nothing while everyone else, including people around the country, are standing and cheering? That's a moment that makes Democrats look small and petty. Keep in mind that with State of the Union addresses, it's really that one point every year where Americans are a captive audience to a president laying out their pathway ahead. And so you have the staging, you have the pomp, you have the circumstance, all this together, and it reminds people there's one person with a microphone in the podium, and that's President Trump.
Well, and what kind of news might we expect tonight? Because I know that the president is going to talk about his victories with regard to the economy, but he will also lay out new policies that he'd like to move forward, right?
Absolutely. And you're going to hear some talk about how some of the tech companies are going to need to bear some of the costs for electricity cost increases. I think a lot of people are rightfully concerned about that. And I think the president has a plan to address those issues. You'll hear the president also talk about health insurance and what we can do to help bring down the cost of that. And then, of course, as I alluded to earlier, what the president is going to do to make sure that we keep the world a safer place. He's already solved, what is it, 9 wars, I believe, so far in this first year of his administration. And we're going to talk about how we stay strong as a nation. And also, that's the key. That's the pathway to making sure that we stay peaceful.
Well, it might be a little awkward with the Supreme Court justices sitting right in front
think?
Of him, right? They're always right there in the front row. And the president has been warning countries against backing away from any recently negotiated trade deals. The president wrote on Truth Social, any country that tries to, quote, play games will face even higher tariffs than the ones previously agreed upon. The Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, of course, will be sitting right behind the president. And he's already warning that Congress is unlikely to find consensus on codifying the president's tariff agenda after the Supreme Court ruling on Friday. What are you expecting there?
Well, two things can be true at the same time here. Yes, of course, people will be looking to see what's going to happen with the tariffs and what the president will say with regard to the Supreme Court or certain justices sitting in the front row. But the overall policy, the overall impact isn't really going to be changed. And that's because one of our superheroes in this equation is our trade representative, Jameson Greer. And Jameson had plans already to go. So the net revenue intake isn't fundamentally going to change. Might be swapping in a couple of different tariffs to replace the IEEPA tariffs. tariffs, of course, have been struck down. But I think what President Trump in a broader picture is going to do is to remind people that when he came in, the Beltway, it was completely in charge of the entire country. Biden had put the insiders back in charge.
Yep.
What President Trump did was remove that power from them. And unfortunately, some of the justices have decided that they want to be the insiders. They want to be part of the status quo. But President Trump is going to reject that status quo and lay out for the American people, here's why these tariffs matter for you, your family. And all you have to do is look around in your cities or in your towns, and you'll see businesses, if not entire industries, have been wiped out by terrible trade policies. He has the plan to fix it.
Okay, very good. A little bit of a preview of what we might see tonight at the State of the Union Address. I knew this would happen. The snow and the ice. Now it's happening in New York City. Cops are getting hurt. Emailer Dan said, Steve, North Dakota already leads the union in binge drinking, yet the taxes on alcohol don't pay our property taxes. How much weed at a 100% tax rate would have to be sold in order to pay all of our property taxes? Too much to be realistic. Yeah, well said. You're talking about massive numbers there. And another text in on this, I was comparing, you know, alcohol and marijuana, whatever, saying, to say whatever you want to say, to me they're different. And they act different, they have different effects on people, one is more harmful than another. You know, addiction can happen with anything, of course, but I'm talking about just what happens to you in long-standing psychosis, psychological effects. And a text comes in, a drug is a drug is a drug. No, it's not. I mean, how do you are right now disqualifying yourself from any part of an intelligent conversation. Sorry, I don't mean to be a jerk about it, but you're telling me that me having a beer is like someone taking a hit of cocaine or like PCP or something like that. We have to have common sense conversations about drugs. And the common sense conversation does not include a drug is a drug is a drug. It just doesn't. All right. I want to tell you about something cool happening that we are blessed to be a part of, small part of it. Dr. Matt Eaton is doing all the real work here. But he at Dakota Implant and Sedation Center is doing a really cool thing for veterans. They're calling it Salute to Smiles. It's a guy who's got a huge heart, Dr. Matt. And Matt is giving one deserving veteran a brand new smile. Not as charity, but as gratitude. If you know a veteran who deserves this, nominate them on our website, am1100theflag.com. This is Dakota Implant and Sedation Center, and they're making smiles great again, doggone it, is what they're doing there. And if you know a veteran who deserves this, nominate them on our website. You can send a letter as well to Flag Family Media, 2852 Thunder Road South in Fargo, and let us know about someone who you think deserves a brand new smile, and they might get one from Dr. Matt. He'll do a drawing. It'll be a ton of fun. I think this is really, really cool. So thank you to Dr. Matt for doing that. Let's go back to the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. William is on the line. He wants to talk about traffic accidents and marijuana. Hey, William.
American Physicians and Surgeons came out with a study about a month ago. 42% of traffic fatalities in the United States have high levels of marijuana in their system. The question is, what about the people they killed in the car accidents? 30% of people who use marijuana become aggressive. If you have schizophrenia in your family, one joint can make you schizophrenic for life. And I've seen that happen.
For life.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm trying to digest what you just said there. Okay, well, you've seen the research, and I knew there was something came out not too long ago. I thought it was more Colorado-centric, but it might be the report you're talking about there. So 42% of all fatalities are by a driver who is impaired with some kind of THC or marijuana or something. Is that what I heard you say?
Yes, you can look it up. Google it.
Okay, that's amazing, because per capita then, and if you're looking at this proportionally, if you'd have said it's, 15%, 10-15%, I'd say, okay, that probably makes sense, because, maybe 15-20% of the country smokes weed on a regular basis, just recreationally. But 42%, we're a little out of whack there on that one, William.
What about the people they killed?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, think about those people.
Yeah, I get it. And someone could say, well, you could do the same with alcohol, but it's not happening that way. It's not happening the way you're talking about. So I appreciate, William. Thank you for calling today. Good stuff.
Right.
I'll have to take a look at that and try to find that research, too. When you say we're going to have this utopia because we're going to have all this money, first of all, you give government money and you think that's going to solve a problem. It won't. I mean, this is an epidemic everywhere. We got to get people to stop spending money in a foolish way. All right, I want to get to this story before we finish up here today. And this is a story that it drives me nuts because in Minneapolis, when the federal agents started doing their sweeps and work, there was a snowstorm. And you saw the video of them the agents being pelted with snow and ice chunks, actual ice chunks. People don't care. They're idiots. They're throwing it at these people. And I'm like, this is why we need the Minneapolis police to come out there and work with these guys to arrest them, because that's assault and battery if you hit them. So, but of course, it's Trump's federal agents. So fine, nobody cares. And we're just going to turn our back on them. But I thought to myself, if we don't do this, you're going to see other wintertime things going on. Well, sure enough, several officers, reports Fox News Channel, with the New York City PD were struck with snowballs on Monday as they were responding to a call about a disorderly group. Big snowstorm out there, right? The large crowd was throwing snowballs when police arrived, and they ended up getting a number of the officers were hit in the face. And so they're trying to look at now security cameras and try to figure out who they were. No arrests have been made, but several officers were treated at a hospital for injuries, and one significant injuries, arrest in stable condition. When people say snowballs, just know what we're talking about here. These are, you pack those things down, and if you know what you're doing with them, you can make those things hard as a rock because it turns into ice. And so this is what, if we don't start finding people, arresting people for throwing snowballs. Oh, it's a snowball fight. It's part of America. Not the way they're doing it there. We got to crack down on this stuff. We're going to have bigger problems. All right, that'll do it for the program here today. I appreciate you being with me, my friend. Stay tuned. Scott Hennin, live from the nation's capital. Scotty, a big boy on campus today. Have a great day. Keep on flying that flag.